Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing another quarterback preview edition for the NFL Draft. This time, we are going to focus on Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson is, it's kind of an interesting story. And I think it's he goes to BYU, and that's typically the, hey, you got to do the Mormon mission thing. And so a lot of the guys that come out of there, 25 years old, 26 years old, they tend to be older. A couple of notable ones that haven't in recent times, Jamal Williams, he came out very young at 21 years old. And also Zach Wilson, he comes out as, at 21, 22 years old here, traditional age for a junior coming out of college. So that is a notable feature. You sort of get some of these stereotypes or whatnot of schools and players and ages and these things. So I think that's a notable place to start with him. I think you're going to get him up at the top of the draft. And again, this is going to be a question of sort of what are we valuing? And how are we going to treat the top of this class? I think the NFL and a lot of the rumors that are going and a lot of the narrative that's being driven is him as quarterback too. Not sure I'm totally there yet. And I kind of feel like that we're in a position kind of like last year where it was, Justin Herbert was kind of the steady Eddie guy throughout his career. And, he was good from a younger age and basically got passed up and became quarterback three. And Tua and Burrow, came on later than Herbert started earlier in his career and had more of a sample size. And then you get up to the draft, and he's the afterthought guy. Kind of feels like what it's going on with Justin Fields a little bit, and with some of the other guys in this class. Zach Wilson being one of them, maybe Trey Lance as well. Right? If you told me any order of those three guys, it wouldn't shock me. Right? You could order them 2, 3, 4 any way that they come off. I wouldn't be entirely surprised. I do think right now your betting favorite and Grinding the Mocks has this at quarterback 2. I think the first place you watch that is he's an expected draft rank of 2. His expected draft position is 2.7. And again, you have sitting right there at 2, the New York Jets. So that would be a situation I would be very watching, right? Very, very tuned in on with that situation and what the impact that is for Sam Darnold. So I do think them potentially resetting the clock makes a lot of sense. With Wilson, I worry a little bit with Wilson that we sort of value things that we put too much weight on some of the less important things, right? So some of the pizzazz, some of the flash, some of the some of the things that are highlights, and we take away a little bit of some of the things that are more important, right? The, hey, he just gets the job done type traits. And it's not so much with him. It's more of a, hey, look at this arm talent. Look at the sidewise flick throws. He's Mahomes reincarnated with his arm angles and all this stuff, right? I worry a little bit about that. So that's just as I sit here and think about it, the arm, it's fascinating to watch. It's really fun to watch all that stuff. I just wonder if we now get a little bit over our skis with fighting the last war, and trying to find this arm talent. And maybe we just, Mahomes is a generational guy. We stop trying to recreate it. And it kind of feels a little bit like the post Gronkowski Graham breakouts in the early 2010s, and you got all these guys who ended up, these move tight ends that we were going to sort of do, and Jason Morrow and all these guys go up there, and it ends up not being the real deal. It kind of has that sort of feel to it. So I do think Zach Wilson's a good player, but just the arm angle infatuation stuff, it just feels like we're trying to recreate Mahomes. So I guess the thing with him is the arm stuff, you know, the quarterback school stuff, it's pretty clear, right? It's very good. Lots of throws off platform. He anticipates outside. He's fun to watch, no doubt. Degree of difficulty on some of his throws is pretty wild. There was this throw that made little sense about why you would design it the way you did. Basically run play action to the left and then come back all the way across the field. You get the wide hashes in college, and he throws basically this deep out. Again, why you would need play action to set that up is a whole nother story. But that was just an absolute rocket to make the throw. As high a degree of difficulty as you could imagine, he made it. And so that's something that shows up. It's constantly there. The arm is great. One thing that popped to me, and I don't know if there's anything there to this, but there's this narrative that he wasn't a captain. And I'm not sure what that whole story is, but he does appear to be a captain in games. So I don't know if they did it on like a, you know, week-to-week basis or whatnot, but I mean, he wears a C on his chest like a lot. So I didn't really notice him in tape with it not being on his chest. So I'm not entirely sure what that whole story is. One thing that popped out in the quarterback school stuff was there was a couple of throws where he put his guys in really weird, in bad, sort of dangerous positions. I didn't think much of it, but JT O'Sullivan, who's the quarterback coach host, the quarterback school host, I should say, he was basically talking about how that's kind of a danger sign for a lot of, you know, that can be a danger sign for football character issues, for, you know, teammate issues, for, you know, kind of like a me first attitude, and that's just something to keep an eye on. So that was an interesting insight into sometimes these narratives develop and we're just not there to sort of appreciate why or what is happening. That's one of those things where when it happened, it kind of jumped to me and I said, huh. So that's just something to keep an eye on with that stuff. You know, so I'll be interested to watch, you know, I don't know if they're going to do quarterback school and all that stuff for like ESPN, but I'll be interested to sort of see some of those things this year to see him talk about that stuff. Yeah, so he's a good athlete on the run. The one thing is he's a little bit smaller and he's thinner. So they think maybe like 210 he comes in, something like that, which isn't a great sign at his weight. You know, you're going to look at a guy like Justin Fields or Trey Lance. They're going to weigh 20 pounds more than him. You just worry a little bit about the durability and some of the, can he hold up and can he be, you know, can he be a guy that can withstand in the pocket? Can he be a guy that can withstand on the run and make, you know, take a little bit of a beating? That's just that's a concern. Effortless with his throws. There's some decision stuff that he kind of trusts his arm a little bit too much. And so, you know, tries to make some throws into windows where if he had read it right, it's just stuff that he shouldn't have thrown. So that's something I would jump out. Again, it didn't jump out a ton, but that's some stuff there with him that we observed. The player comp from PFF is interesting. A more creative Baker Mayfield. And his biggest weakness is he's untested under pressure. So that would be the concerns there with him. Pros, uncoachable off-platform arm talent. Doesn't need his feet set to deliver strikes. He does the comp that constantly showed up was like a second baseman starting a double play. Makes these throws where he's basically entirely facing front facing his receiver on these RPO throws. And typically you would be not front facing. In a normal throw, you'd be, you know, your left shoulder, you know, he's right-handed, so his left shoulder would be forward, his right arm would be back, and you'd throw it like a normal football. He's basically throwing these essentially like side-armed, you know, completely facing the receiver. It's pretty wild to see him do that. So that stuff is just, you can't teach it. So that's great. Pinpoint to every level of the field, ranked in the top five in off-target rate this year. So that's good sign there as well. Dead arm talent showing up in both the strength and accuracy, flick release, no wasted movement or wind up to get the ball out quickly. Houdini in the pocket can get himself out of tight quarters under pressure. Some of the concerns: head all day behind one of the best offensive lines in the country. Some games were glorified 7-on-7. Trust his arm almost too much at times and won't set his feet to throw. Is that something you can sort of, you can't teach someone to have great arm talent. You can work on that and train it and everything, but ultimately you either have it or you don't. And an NFL team isn't going to be able to make Andy Dalton, Patrick Mahomes in terms of his arm talent. Can you fix some of the decision-making process around that? I think so, right? Sometimes you live with the good, and sometimes you have to live with the bad too. And so there's some of that with him. Injuries limited him to 1 year of high-level production against a group of five only schedule. So again, you're not facing the top talent. One thing I would say about that is there is a narrative out there, and I would not use this as predictive, and it's one of the bigger, I think it's McShay, maybe Daniel Jeremiah, one of those higher-end guys. Basically, when you get quarterbacks get hurt in college, there's a really high rate that they get hurt in the pros. I don't know if that's predictive, but that's a notable thing in terms of, you know, the injury stuff is there. So looking at some of the stuff from The Athletic, just to get a little intel here on where they're going, he does have him at 2 to the Jets. Again, it's raving about his arm. I think he has great arm strength, and he's accurate. He definitely keeps plays alive. He can by about 2 more seconds, he can really throw on the run from different angles. He's really impressive. I do think it'll be interesting when people look at his junior tape when he faced better teams. He had good games and some bad games. Also, I'll be curious how his game translates in the NFL, because BYU was so RPO and read driven, where once he got off that first read, he almost never got to the second one. He'd move the pocket even though he wouldn't have any pressure. Instead, he'd create the scramble drill. You want to know how well he'll go through the progressions and sit in the pocket, because that is one of the things you'll never know till you do it. That quote could be made about a current NFL quarterback, and that quote could be about Russell Wilson. But it's about Zach Wilson. So just keep that in mind when you hear that quote. That is a very similar trait to one Russell Wilson. One opposing coach said he's freaky. He made some throws against us that were silly. He was very calm because I really think he trusts his feet. Reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson, some of Mahomes, and his ability to throw from all angles, and he has that creativity. He made some comeback throws that made you say, wow, he has such wrist and finger control. It's impressive. I'd love to see what he can do in a drop back offense. So that is a, hey, just because he hasn't done something doesn't mean he can't. That's the thing there with him. I was blown away watching him on film. I didn't realize he could throw it quite like that. The ball explodes off his hands. There's a throw he made in their UCF game. It's a deep out and up. Nobody runs it in college because it's such a long route. He throws it on a rope. He has a ridiculously talented arm. So, again, no surprise about what you're getting. I'll just say, in terms of some of the stats, I'm not sure he puts himself in the same elite tier as some of these other guys. When you sort of look at him, Trevor Lawrence better in terms of what I measured in his career overall. Zach Wilson had the better year. So, you know, from a clean pocket, basically 80th percentile, so that's good. Under pressure, 50th percentile, so that's a question and concern. Yards per attempt, 83rd percentile, you know, that's better than Lawrence. Passer rating overall, he's 81st percentile. Lawrence is 88th. Non-play action, 73rd percentile. Play action, he's 80th percentile. Composites, PFF grade, 67th percentile. So again, it's good. He hasn't been consistently elite throughout his career. And so when you look at Trevor Lawrence, he's been very good from a young age. So it sort of boosts up some of his numbers. Wilson's more of a late comer to the position. So when you look at his graph, it looks a little bit lesser than you might otherwise see for some of these other guys. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch for. And again, how much of it was schedule related and all that stuff. And I know that they did have some offensive change in there as well. So I do think, you know, there's some stuff that now fits his offense better than did, you know, in earlier iterations of the offense. So it'll be interesting to see once the NFL goes through the teardown process of April on these guys about what some of the negative stuff is that comes out. So that'll be something that I'm watching because I'm curious. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Zach Wilson, again, his big takeaways, I think he's going to be a top four quarterback, no doubt. I think how much what your flavor of liking him is what your flavor of the position is. I think if he's going to go quarterback two, might be an avoid. You know, if you can get quarterback, if you can get Fields a little bit later, that might be interesting. If you could get Lance later as well, that might be interesting. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how the ordering of these guys going, how interested we're going to be. I might not necessarily be in on him as quarterback two, but if he's quarterback three or four, like that might, I might have a lot of shares. So I think as we sit here right now, he's probably sitting at quarterback two, but it'll be something that we'll have to watch for going forward. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.